Hello and welcome to another episode of Wildness and Wellbeing. I'm Tim Jones, also known as Adventure Yeti, and today I am here with Jess again. Jess Hindley, how's it going, Jess?
Yeah, it's going great, thanks. We had a nice start to the day, didn't we? Sunrise this morning.
It was worth the wait.
It was. I kept the faith when we couldn't see anything at sunrise and convince you to stay, and it paid off in the end.
It did, to be fair. Sort of.
You almost lost your fingers, but
yes,
it was so cold.
It was really bitter. And actually, to be fair, it just all cleared, didn't it?
It did.
It was really magical.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, I think we were the only two, apart from one man and his dog, that were still on the...
That kept the faith.
How was Jordan?
Yeah, it was incredible. Honestly, one of the best experiences of my whole life so far.
Really?
Yeah, I was so lucky to... For anybody who didn't listen to the podcast that I was on, I went to Jordan with Riverdance, so I'm a professional dancer, and we went out there to do some shows in Jordan, in Amman, the first time Riverdance as a show has been to Amman, so it was very, very special, and we performed in like a Roman amphitheatre, so it was all outdoors, like under the stars, like at sunset. It was amazing, and it's one of the most interesting places I think I've ever been. It's really different to anywhere else I've been.
What was it like?
So, well, it's an interesting place for women to go to, I'd say.
Yeah.
Like you don't see a lot of women out and about. But just like the culture there is beautiful, and there's just so much like colour and vibrancy everywhere. And we were lucky enough to go to like the ancient ruins there and to go to the Dead Sea and have a float in the Dead Sea.
So is that the Dead Sea's got like loads of salt in it, hasn't it?
Yeah, so it's really high salt content. So you can literally float in the sea. Like it's a really strange feeling. And like you just feel your legs like lift up and you can just float in the sea. And they have like the mud there, you can have like mud masks as well and put that like all over your body. It's really good for your skin, and then get into the Dead Sea and wash it off.
Has it got kind of like healing? I'm assuming it's
think it's meant to be really good for your skin. I don't really know the science behind it, but it's meant to be really good for your skin, and my skin felt so soft afterwards. But it's just in a really beautiful place as well, and it was just amazing.
I've done Egypt before. I travelled quite a bit in Egypt, and it was really fun.
Yeah,
it was a little bit hairy. Riding on the coaches.
Yeah, like the roads are quite scary.
Yeah, there's checkpoints everywhere. But yeah, it's. It is such a beautiful part of the world, and I find that everyone is just so hospitable.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know.
Yeah, so. And we got to go to Petra as well, which is one of the wonders of the world, one of the new seven wonders of the world.
The new seven.
Yeah, because I think there were ancient wonders, but some of them don't exist anymore because they kind of fell down or disintegrated. Petra is like an ancient city that was uncovered, and it's like big kind of, there's like big sort of pillars, and like if anyone's never seen it, Google it. It's really hard to describe, but it's like an ancient city, and it was all uncovered not that long ago, and it's one of like the main sort of tourist attractions there.
Today is going to be a bit of a different podcast. Obviously listening to what everyone said about season one, quite a few people said to me that they felt my story was a little bit short in the introduction, So it's going to be a bit of a role reversal today. I'm throwing myself in the deep end.
How do you feel about the role reversal?
I feel all right.
And we've literally reversed our seats of where we were sat last time.
I think it's because I've had a trial run at this, because I was on Tickle Time, Sue Tickle's podcast, the other week. So I'm feeling like I'm a bit well rehearsed for this.
No, I'm really excited for everyone to sort of hear your story. Like, we've only known each other 6 to 12 months. Not that long, but...
Do you know what the wild, mad thing is, though? It's like I've known you forever.
I know, it's crazy. But I still feel like there's still things that I don't know about you. But I've been so inspired by your story.
Oh,
everything
you.
That you've been through, ups and downs, and the person that you are now, you would never know you had been through, you know, quite tough times.
Yeah.
And also some really enlightening times as well. So I'm really excited for everyone to sort of hear your story and, yeah, just to get to know a little bit more about my friend Tim.
Awesome.
So I think before we sort of delve into some of the deeper stuff, would you mind explaining a little bit about, you know, what you've been up to over the last 12 months and your plan sort of going forward as well?
Yeah, I guess there's been quite, the last 12 months, it's been a whirlwind, to be fair. I think I've grown a lot more in the last 12 months than I have in the last 30 odd years. Let's just say 30 odd. I've been doing lots of hikes. I've done the Yorkshire Three Peaks, which was absolutely amazing. Done Snowdon. I did Helvellyn 3 times now, which was fun, in the snow, and Ben Nevis. And yeah, I've just been really embracing hiking, nature and the outdoors. I think something that I've also really discovered has been wild dipping. That's been a real game changer for me. And yoga. Yoga's been, I probably say it's changed my life, both physically and spiritually at the same time. And I think it's had such an imprint on my life and has helped me so much that I've kind of decided that it's time for me to up my game a little bit and go to yoga teacher training. And
so in what way has it changed your life?
It's really funny, kind of when I originally went to yoga, I guess it was I was climbing at the time and I wanted to become more flexible. That's why I went. That's purely why I went. But when I went to a place called Barnt Green Zen Den, which is a really beautiful view of yoga place with some amazing teachers there, I just felt I'd had a really stressful day. It was the first time I'd been to that place. I'd been to one yoga session at the climbing center in Birmingham, and I'd not liked it at all, which is usually the way, to be honest. And I guess I'd had a really stressful week with work, and I went to this yoga session and I just felt like a state of calm, like something I've not felt before. I just felt really calm and relaxed, like everything that was on my shoulders had kind of lifted and floated away, and I just felt rejuvenated. My soul felt completely revitalized, I guess.
Beautiful.
So I guess that's what yoga does for me. It's not so much about the physical aspects, although like being able to do stuff like a headstand and stuff like that is definitely, you know, I never thought I'd be able to do it. You know, cast back about 2 years ago, I was probably about 14 stone. So I've lost a lot of weight since then.
You've done amazing. You really have. And all of that sounds so wholesome. You know, the hiking, the yoga, everything that you've done the growing you've done this year. How have you found sort of juggling that with work and also doing the podcast? You've been busy.
I've been lucky. I've been really lucky. I've got an amazing team around me at work and the best bosses I could probably ever ask for. Luckily, one of my bosses, well, he's also one of my best friends. He's also a trained counsellor as well. They're very clued up on mental health. And I went for a bit of a rough time back in, well, probably about 4 or 5 months ago, where I was basically in between houses and my mental health was probably a really, really low point, to be fair. And they were just completely understanding. They always have been. And I'll always be really eternally grateful to them because, like, they've seen this growth. I mean, when I handed in my notice at work, my boss was like, it's been a journey, hasn't it? And it really has. Like, mm-hmm. I was pretty, when I joined them, I was in a completely different place. And I was at that point of my drinking that was kind of out of control. And something was going to have to change. And they've kind of seen that change and that evolution. And I think it's a really important turning point in my life. I think also that's kind of one of the drivers for me to kind of move on to something new as well. Like, I feel like it was all part of this transitional phase. And now I'm at the next phase of my life. I'm not quite sure what is going to happen,
mm-hmm.
but I'm trusting the universe that it's all going to be all right. And yeah. I think it's going to be another adventure. Don't get me wrong. It will be.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I'm kind of at a stage of my life where I'm ready for change.
Mm-hmm. And what is the next step?
So, I'm going to get on the plane and I'm going to go to head to Thailand, Chiang Mai, do a month yoga teacher training, and then I'm gonna hop on probably most of the banana pancake trail. It's quite a popular hike backpacking trail out there. Head kind of through Vietnam, and then I'll probably go back into Thailand and do a few countries around that region, Malaysia. Then probably hop on to a flight over to Oz. I've got family in Australia, and then maybe I'm thinking New Zealand after that.
Amazing! So, I did 6 weeks in New Zealand, but I was only 18, 19 years old, so I'd love to go back. It's the most beautiful place I've ever been.
What was your highlight?
Oh gosh, we did so many amazing things. We did we did a bungee jump swing. That wasn't a highlight. That was a low light. That
sounds
was one of the
like my worst nightmare.
That was the first thing that came to my head. But that was one of the scariest things I've ever done. But I think one of the highlights was we got a helicopter and did a walk over a glacier in Franz Josef. I'm gonna say it was called. It's a long time ago now, but that was amazing. Like, we got a helicopter up to the glacier and then walked along the glacier. It was amazing. Yeah. And just the scenery is incredible. The mountains, the lakes, like the mirror reflection lakes. Oh, just, they call it Scotland on steroids, don't they?
Yeah.
And it's so true. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm excited for you to experience it. You'll love it.
I do have plans to maybe go up to the Amazon. It was really weird. I've been getting a big pull to go towards the Amazon for a few reasons. I was in a laundrette in Trafford or Stretford near Old Trafford, and there was this woman in the laundrette. And I was really at an all-time low and I kind of was bouncing around, and she basically could see I was struggling with the washing machine. Because, do you know what? I do plenty of washing, but when you go into a laundrette...
Oh, it's stressful.
And they're really technical as well yeah. now, the laundrettes. And they, like, you've got to
exactly
have
your
wits about you. And I think she could kind of tell I was a little bit lost in this laundrette. And she really helped me. And it was quite clear she was going through chemo. I know what her name is, but for this sake, I'm just going to call her Mary. And basically we just started talking. We started talking. I was actually journaling in the corner while my washing was on, and she was just asking me what I was doing, and I was a bit like, I'm a bit lost at the moment, to be honest, Mary. I'm kind of in between houses. I think I'm gonna travel about the place. And I kind of at that point I hadn't quite worked out what I was gonna do, what was gonna happen, because I was signed off work at the time, and I was just bouncing around the place. And my mate Roni was doing Ben Nevis up in Scotland, so I was kind of a bit like, well, I'll probably leave Manchester in about a week, and then I'll head up there and just see what happens. And I was saying, yeah, I think I might do a bit of traveling. She goes, I'd love to do traveling. She goes, it's been my biggest regret is that I've never traveled. And she goes, I've got so much. And she said to me, I just dream of going to the Amazon. That's the one place I want to go. And she had a really big effect on me. Like, it was kind of like that moment where two people meet and it's almost like a meet cute, almost it's the universe has meant it to happen. And I felt like talking to her, and she'd actually had some issues with alcohol as well. She was sober, so we related on in that respect as well. And I think it was just kind of that moment where I realized that I had to go traveling. And yeah, she...
How old was she? Was she
was
older?
Probably,
or...
I reckon she was about 60s.
Yeah,
60s.
So I think when you talk to someone like that and they have some regrets,
yeah,
you kind of think you don't want that to be you. You know, you don't want to look back and think that you had wished you had done something.
Really spoke to me.
And she might have needed that as well. You don't know. She might have gone away and done something that she was really needing to do.
Yeah.
You know, from talking to you as well.
Yeah, well, I'd been carrying around something with me since I kind of had left Birmingham. My sister had given me it was a little key ring with a mountain on, and it said on it, be brave, seek adventure from the highest peak to the furthest shore. And I basically went back to my car, and I was looking at this, and I just decided I was going to give it to her, because I felt like she really needed it. She told me about her cancer treatment. It was the second time she'd had cancer. And I literally gave her this key ring, and I said to her, I said, Mary, I know this is going to sound really crazy, but I just feel like the universe is meant for us to meet, and I want to give you this. And she's like, are you sure? And I was like, no, you've got to take it. You've got to take this. And I basically just said to her, like, next time you're kind of at a low point or kind of going through your cancer treatment or something like that, I want you to look at that and realize that you are going to get to the Amazon one day. And I really, really
that's
hope...
given me goosebumps. That's such a nice moment.
Yeah, I'm struggling not to cry.
Yeah.
But I think I hope she made it. I have faith she made it there in the end, or she will. But yeah, there's been a big pull for me to go to the Amazon, and I kind of I kind of parked that for a while, and then I went to a sound bath, and I kind of had this vision that I was in the Amazon in the rainforest. So there's a big pool there, so I think I want to go there as well.
Definitely, you have to.
You know, but I all these are kind of light. I've got kind of a rough itinerary, but I'm just going to leave it down to the universe.
Yeah,
things I might meet people, do different things along the way. I've just got to go with it for once in my life.
Definitely, just go with that sort of flow.
The one thing for sure is I'm going to yoga teacher training. But beyond that, we're just going to see what the universe has in store.
Yeah, absolutely. You'll be a great yoga teacher. I'm looking forward to coming to one of your classes when you eventually get home.
Yeah, if I do, I mean, that's the thing as well.
Coming home.
Yeah. A lot of my friends have told me that. And I think I feel really blessed now because I'm actually in a place where I have got so many friends and I'm just so grateful for that. And I didn't have that before. I had people I drank with, but they weren't. Some of them were friends. You know, I have kept some of those connections that were really special, and they really helped me through some really tough times. But a lot of the people I hung around with, they didn't give a monkeys about me. And I think the friends I've got now do really care about me and value me. And, you know, I'm always grateful for that.
Absolutely. And I think it's great how open you are about your mental health now and the struggles that you've been through and struggling with alcohol.
Yeah.
What would you say kind of led to that period in your life and that after that, the sort of turning point as well?
I guess, so I've always struggled with my mental health ever since I was a kid. I was, you know, I have had some past trauma in the past, like especially from very young. And I think, like, even from the age of 4 or 5, I started to develop kind of OCD traits. I wasn't diagnosed till I was 26.
Wow.
Like, I had a really bad mental breakdown, to the point of I actually can't remember a lot of it. And literally that's when I got diagnosed. But yeah, growing up, I struggled, especially with self-harm a lot of the time. And I guess when I was at school, you know, I was the kid that always had the booze. I was the kid always doing the slightly madder things. Mm. And as that kind of went on, I guess I got into a sales environment. There's a really strong drinking culture there that always has been.
It's ingrained in so many parts of our society, isn't it? Especially.
It's really funny because, I was drinking a lot at that time, and then you go out with your mates on the weekend, and for me it was very much football, and the football drinking culture just, it wasn't great, to be fair. There were a lot of times where I got into sticky situations at both home and away matches, and I think I kind of went away from that a little bit more, but I was still drinking really a lot. I went to the States, I discovered craft beer, and that kind of became a bit of a hobby, like a drinking hobby. And I created a website, and at one point, you know, at first we had, you know, 4,000 people come on the site. And I was like, this is really good. And then it's like 8,000, and then it was 20,000, then it was 40,000, then it was 80,000, then it was 120,000 people a month. And I'm at a stage now where the brand I'm working for, which I then migrated into marketing, was getting less traffic than my own brand, which is, and to be fair, where I was at, it was a really toxic, well, it was the sales culture I was talking about.
Yeah. That kind of becomes addictive in itself then, doesn't it? You know, the more traffic you get, the more you want, and the more it's really an funny excuse to drink, and it's kind of...
Yeah, I guess so. And I was drinking for a living at that point. Like I kind of, you suddenly caught on that, oh, actually, I can get free beer from this, which is great. But then when you've got some of the biggest supermarkets coming up to you and giving you money to and the beer, it's like, wow, this is amazing. I've got my booze and I can keep my money. I think the problem at that point was I was kind of so deep in a kind of an addiction that it's like I was probably spending that money on booze anyway, but it was just the perfect excuse. I could always drink because it was for work, and like the tastings in the evening kind of went back to the tastings in the afternoon to the tastings in the middle of the day. But I think one of the key moments for me when I realized I had a problem was when I was walking back from the shop at probably just gone midday with 4 cans of 8% cider. And I said out loud to myself, and I was 26 at the time, game's up, Tim. I knew at that point I had a problem. It wasn't going to be to another 8 years. Probably another 8 years till I'd actually realize that actually I do have a real problem that needs to change. It's really funny, you just learn how to hide it. You can constantly hide it. And as I went along, I was hiding it more and more. And what I found was when I became sober, people were quite shocked that I'd had an alcohol problem, but it's because a good alcoholic can hide it. They can hide what they're doing. I was, I went to Fontainebleau with four friends, and my mate, who's he's a close mate. He's one of my best mates. He said to me on this drive down to Fontainebleau, he was like, "Do you actually have an alcohol problem?" And I kind of said, turned to him and I said, "You remember that time we went for that bike ride and we went to the pub?" And he was like, "Yeah." When I met you, I'd had about 6 or 7 pints. We then cycled to the pub. I had about 3 or 4 pints with you. And then we cycled back. I went back home and I carried on drinking. And that's the thing. Like, I was just properly a functioning alcoholic. And because I did it for my job as well, like, I'd go to a brewery for the day. They give me 3 or 4 pints of tasting up there. They give me about 4 or 6 bottles of beer to, try when I go try at a later time. Little did they know that I was actually sitting on the train. I was necking all those bottles. I was getting into Birmingham City Centre and then I was going out until the early hours. And I was waking up kind of the next day with an anxiety hangover. And what's the best thing to do? Hair of the
Hair of
dog,
the
isn't it?
dog, yeah.
I think that for me was kind of where I was at when I went sober. Well, it had got a little bit deeper. It gone beyond that, like on evenings where I wasn't doing beer related stuff. I was having about 2.5 bottles of wine on a bad night, 4.5 bottles. And I think that the moment I realized I was really shit deep in it was when I was literally on a railway bridge and I was thinking to myself, I'm just gonna jump. And I'm glad I didn't. Like, I'm really, really grateful that I didn't. I picked up the phone and called someone that could help me, and they did help me. And I got into my GP, and basically the GP, after asking me quite a few questions, basically hinted at me that you're gonna die one way or the other if you keep on going the way you're at. So I had to stop. I got put on antidepressants, which obviously, it's love hate with antidepressants, but when you need them, you need them. Yeah. And I was at a point in my life where I needed to be on antidepressants.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of helped me stop him with the alcohol.
Yeah.
But obviously, I guess with that transitional phase, I was at a point in my life where I was starting to discover the outdoors, but mm-hmm. the outdoors really became my therapy in that respect. And
were you not into the outdoors beforehand?
Not like I'd started dabbling. Yeah. I'd started being a bit curious, and I'd been on a trip. I mean, in the past, I'd been on trips to the Peak District, but nothing major. But I had been to the Peak District kind of about 6 months before I went sober. Yeah. I'd started doing indoor climbing probably about 4 months before I went sober, and I did a bit of outdoor. I'd started doing a bit of outdoor, so I started dabbling, but I was obviously, it was sandwiched between drinking, and if I'm completely honest with you, a lot of the time when I was hiking, I was drinking beer as well.
Gosh, it's hard for me to imagine that, Tim. Like, you've done so amazingly well to make it this far, and you should be really proud, you know, that you pulled yourself through that time. And as somebody who's not suffered with alcoholism, what would you say, sort of, was it masking the depression? Was it to cope with the depression? I guess the two kind of went hand in hand, and one makes the other worse. And
I think it was a mix. It was a mix of masking, kind of, I wasn't happy.
Yeah.
It was also kind of a way that I was trying to deal with some past trauma as well, although to be honest, it brought the past trauma out when I was drinking. Like, it didn't help it, actually. No. It made it worse, and it made more stuff come out. But yeah, it was purely I wasn't happy. Yeah. I wasn't happy with myself, who I was. And I was like I said before, I was probably about 14 stone at the time. And I kind of started losing a bit of weight, but I wasn't happy with my body at that point. Now that I look at it a little bit, I think body image is very much a mental thing as well as it is a physical thing at the same time. So yeah, I'd say it was probably dealing with that kind of depression. It was kind of self-medication, almost
self-destruction in a way, you know, if you weren't happy with yourself. It's
So
what a journey it's been. And so what was the turning point exactly?
It was really, well, I guess that was kind of the realization that something had to change. A week later, and it's really funny, I used to talk about this a lot, and I kind of dismissed it, but I actually realised kind of a couple of weeks ago, it was a really special time for me. I went with some family to an animal sanctuary I'd been sober literally less than a week, and I'd started on the sertraline. And I was a bit nervous because I was like, I don't want to get sick from the sertraline. Because when you do go on to it, it does make you a little bit nauseous.
Mm.
But we went to a really nice cottage, had no internet or social media, and it was an animal sanctuary, a vegan animal sanctuary.
Oh, perfect.
But like, it was just nice spending time with the animals. And then me, my sister and her boyfriend went to, we were going to do some of the gliders, but we actually got to the base of Tryfan North Face, and I said to them, should we just do it? And we did it, and they really hadn't hiked at all before, and I was still relatively new into it.
Yeah.
And yeah, we went up there and I absolutely loved it. Tryfan is, for me, is always going to have a special place in my heart. In that valley, that's where I've discovered so much about myself. I've done so much amazing stuff, both solo and with friends and family. Had some real great adventures and stuff. So I love that mountain. Absolutely love it. And it's always got a really special place in my heart. I'm trying to picture, because I wasn't in a great place, so I'm not sure whether it's chicken or egg which came first. But my mate Jem, me and her planned to go away to Castleton, and I wanted to do the B29 Bulmer and High Shelf Stones. I'd wanted to do it for so long. In fact, we'll probably go there on Saturday.
Sounds good.
It was a beautiful day. It was green. It was getting towards summer, and it was just kind of coming out of spring towards summer, and everything was just so green, and you could see Manny in the background, and it was just absolutely magical. And she stopped me at one point and she said, "Have you ever done the five senses before?" And I was like, "I've never done them." And she went through them with me, and that it's such a powerful exercise. Everything for me for the first time felt like it was in HD. It was like that moment in The Wizard of Oz where everything turns to colour. And I remember just getting the water from the stream. I remember listening to the stream and then just kneeling down by the stream, getting some water from the stream and just splashing it on my face. And it was just amazing, absolutely amazing. I think for me that was there's more to life here. There's more to life. I used to always think when I was drinking, how can someone not drink? That must be such a boring life. But I think that moment actually for me, when I look back, well, those two moments were really important. That moment has always been for me a big thing. And I think then I kind of got introduced to the community groups along the way. Three or four months later, I went to the Komoot Pioneers event, which was really good, and then I went on the Lost Explorers events. Mm-hmm. Met some amazing people like you, I guess it's not been a walk in the park. Like I said, about 4 months ago I had a little bit of a wobble, and it's never gonna always be a happily ever after, like, but it is always there is happiness. I think that's the thing. I think another important moment for me was kind of learning to love myself and basically to do stuff by myself as well. I always had that fear. I always felt like I needed to be around people. The more I've gone along now recently, I've started discovering that actually I'm not quite sure if I need to be around. Well, I don't need to be around.
I think there's a healthy mix. Solo adventures and adventuring with other people as well. I love the story of your first ever solo hike.
that's a good story actually to tell, because that's
I'm laughing, but it was a big step.
So I'd been chatting to my mate Beth actually the night before, and I wasn't quite sure on the kind of routes. I was still like relatively new to finding routes, but I wasn't that great when it came to mountains at that point. And she sent me a route and said, "You can do this route." So I was like, "Oh, I might do that." And I'd messaged a few of my other mates who were in the lakes, and I remember kind of driving up, getting up at 4 a.m., knowing that I was going to the Lake District, but I wasn't actually 100% sure what I was doing because I was kind of still on the fence. Will I go meet some mates instead and do a hike? But I actually pushed myself. And I remember I was at like, I think it's Chunuk Richards service station near Preston or something, where I was like, right, I'm doing this now. I'm doing Helvellyn. I'm just going to do it. And like, I'd picked probably not the, it was an amazing day, but it probably wasn't the best day to do a solo hike. No. It was like blizzard conditions and you couldn't see about 10 foot in front of you, and it was just sheet ice everywhere. And I remember I did about 100 feet and I was all over the place, and I was like, well, my cramp on my spikes are going on. So spikes went on, which are a complete game changer. I love them. I can't get enough of them. And actually, now that I think of it, if you haven't got spikes, grab some spikes. They're so cheap and they're just amazing. And I just went for it. And I remember it was to the point where there was my water bottle was ice. There was ice on my beard. There was ice just on the side of my like
arm.
It's
actually quite a dangerous position to be in. Like, we laugh about
it's funny because it's a really popular route and there was loads of people down the bottom, but as I got further and further up, there was less people because everyone was turning back. And actually at the top, I think I only saw a couple of people, and I remember I didn't know where I was going, kind of thing. I was looking on my phone and I was like, is it going to be soon? And I saw this guy and I go to this guy, am I near the trick? And this guy goes, yeah. He goes, you're about 5 minutes away. But he goes, but you've got to go now because the weather's closing now. So I literally like proper went for it. And it was weird. It was like, because I couldn't see probably 10 foot in front of me. It was almost like you're in a vacuum. It was like silence. It was almost like you know Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, in that kind of white calm room at the end. It was just like that. It was just like, felt like it was me in the world. But I got to the trig, and then for about 5 seconds the cloud cleared and I could see the tarn down the bottom, and it was absolutely glorious for those 5 seconds, and then it just all closed again.
This is what you could have had.
But anyway, like, I was up the top and it was getting back down, it was just as bad. And I remember going almost kind of going to an edge and like looking at my phone, I was like, I'm in the wrong place, and looking down and realizing, actually, yeah, I'm definitely in the wrong place. But there was another person at the top, and they'd basically, their GPS had packed in and were completely lost, so I helped them get down. And once we got halfway down, they said to me, have you done Helvellyn before? I said, no, it's my first time in the lakes. And I think they were really surprised. But it was a really good experience for me, and it basically made me believe that I could do stuff by myself. And don't get me wrong, it's not the biggest like mountain to climb or anything like that, but when you're in a place that's been, when you haven't done it before, it is a big step. And I remember kind of some of my load times, the mission of the day was just to get out of bed and make a coffee, and that was enough. Getting outdoors is such a big thing, and I think if you're at a low point, just try and get it outside, push yourself to get outside. It doesn't have to be a crazy mountain, it can literally be a walk around your local park, you know. It makes such a difference and it does so much good for you.
Yeah. So apart from hiking and yoga, is there anything else that you'd say has really sort of helped you along the way on your journey?
Definitely what I said before was cold water dipping. That's been a big game changer for me. I did my first dip kind of back in January, I think it was this year. And I just loved it. Absolutely loved it. It you know, that dose of dopamine, it just releases something that I guess it just has an effect on you that I can't describe it. It's just a kind of euphoric moment where you get out and you feel like invincible. All you're focusing on is your breath when you're in there in order to survive. And I think slowing down your nervous system, it just trains you to deal not just with kind of the there and then, but in future moments, like when you're having a moment of anxiety, actually slowing your breath down can really, really help you. And I've just really, really enjoyed it and felt like I connect with nature. And I think this is the thing with all of these things is that you've got this beautiful world around you, and it makes you feel like you're part of something a lot bigger, being outdoors, and it gives life just so much more meaning. But yeah, cold water for me has definitely been a game changer. So if anyone is interested, I'd say definitely find a local group, community group that's doing it. Do it with someone else to begin with, just to stay safe. But it's definitely worth it. It's definitely worth a try.
Yeah, it's not something that I've I haven't really tried it.
I tried to get you
properly
in Wales, didn't I? And you
I feel the cold a lot. So, but I definitely would like to try harder at it. I think making yourself do something that you don't want to do is an important skill to learn in life generally, not just in that moment where you're getting in that cold water and you don't want to. It's proving to yourself that you can like push past your mind and make yourself do something that's going to benefit you.
Yeah, and to begin with, you don't need to stay in for a long period of time. And even if you just to begin with get down to your waist kind of thing, that's still a game changer. Yeah. And it's gradually easing yourself in. Also, gloves and shoes, they can help you.
Yeah, I can do it in a wetsuit.
Can you?
When we go to the Isle of Arran in Scotland, and that's in the summer as well, but it's still freezing. We
Scotland
have wetsuits, wet shoes. I can do it then, and I still do feel amazing afterwards, but it's not quite the same, but it's a step in the right direction.
In Wales, you just seemed more happy sitting on the side, munching your pizza.
Yeah, that's definitely me.
But it's definitely really beneficial, and it's really helped me, and it's got so many health benefits to it. I'd definitely say it's something to give a go.
Yeah, absolutely. And you do quite a bit of journaling as well, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I think journaling's been, I think this is the thing with mental health, is it's not a one ingredient recipe kit.
No.
You need to have a mix, and certain things help me at certain points where I'm struggling. But journaling has been a pretty constant for me in the last, I kind of flitted in and out of journaling, but actually having a moment of reflection every day is really good for me, just to check in and see how I'm doing.
Absolutely.
And I know a lot of people have said to me, and I know it's really hard to know where to start, just jot a few thoughts down, even draw a drawing. It doesn't have to be regimented, it doesn't have to be a certain thing. It can be just anything.
Yeah, more like a diary entry.
And meditation as well. Yeah, meditation as well has been a big game changer for me. Headspace app, super good, super good.
I like
good.
Calm as well. That's great.
Yeah, everyone keeps telling me about Calm. I have downloaded it.
I like the short daily meditations that they release. They're only like 6-7 minutes. And
yeah.
You know, sometimes, although we should make more time, sometimes you do only have that short amount of time to do it.
I need to try Calm as well. But Headspace does do the same. Yeah, they do the same with a short meditation kind of thing.
Yeah, I always find for me it's that time before you go to bed when you're guilty of being on your phone. For me, that's a great time to journal and listen to those meditations. And I actually heard on a podcast recently, one thing that's really stuck with me is just writing down everything that's gone well that day.
Yeah.
If anybody did need a journal prompt, you know, if you've never tried it before.
Yeah.
Even writing it in your phone, I know it's not ideal being on a screen, but or even just thinking about it before you go to bed, like just thinking about what went well that day, because sometimes we're always thinking about what we've not done well enough, aren't we? Like, and we're always beating ourselves up. But that's helped me go to sleep feeling proud of myself in some ways.
Yeah, I think there's so much you can do. But yeah, definitely just get a book and a nice pen. A nice book and a nice pen.
Yeah, I love a nice book.
Yeah. And it's and just do what you wish.
I think everyone's different as well, aren't they? It's important to try these things, see what sticks and do what's right for you. Like you say, one size doesn't suit all. It's trial and error sometimes.
I think there's loads of different things you can do. I think climbing helped me, bouldering helped me a lot. That was kind of almost a meditation. Working out kind of working out a puzzle, you know. I remember looking at the climbing wall once and I was really struggling and I just couldn't get past this move. And then I stopped and watched. And two guys went on it, and one of them basically just went on it, and he got to the same problem I got to and was looking around, and then he stepped down, changed his kind of where he was reaching, and then stepped back up again. And I thought that's such an amazing analogy for life, is sometimes you have to just work out those puzzles. Sometimes you have to work out those puzzles and take a step forward.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think not enough people will let themselves do that sometimes, you know, take a step back, reassess, and then sort of move forward from there. But you've honestly done so, so well. Like, the person that you are now, you should be very proud of yourself, and I'm glad that you're talking about everything so much now, talking openly to your friends and on this podcast, and maybe in the future as a yoga teacher or wherever life takes you next. It's such an important thing to do, is to share your story and be proud of how far you've come as well.
Yeah, thank you. I think that is the other important thing, is just talk and reach out. And I think that's always been the aim of the podcast. It's always been to just, well, partly to inspire people and get ideas to help with their mental health, but also to get more people talking. And I think that's a really important message. But yeah.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, well done. And keep going. And I'm excited to hear about your adventures all over the world. The Amazon, New Zealand, Australia,
wherever that is.
Thailand.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we'll all be following you on Instagram as well, seeing how amazing you're doing. So just keep going and keep sort of following your heart, really, and doing what you love and what makes you happy, I think.
Cheers, Jess.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me back.
Hey, everyone. Just wanted to say a big thank you for tuning in to the final episode of season 2. big thank you to everyone that took the time to chat to me. And yeah, I will be on my travels now and will be picking up some more podcast material along the way. So season 3 will be out in spring. I'll catch you all soon.